Listen, we got a whole bunch of scripture to do. We're going to try to tackle this in a very quick time. Tonight, I'm going to try to do something a little bit different. Scoot up a little bit. I want y'all to talk back to me because I really want to back and forth conversation on something that I really want to talk about, because I need to see what do you think, and I need you to be honest about your views on this. I just want to start handling my Wednesday night Bible study just a little bit different. I want to deal with tonight on something that I think is destroying the body of Christ, and I don't think that we really have set forth in our hearts, nor do we have the clear understanding how to deal with a subject. And it's simply this, and again, my Wednesday night's a little different than Sunday morning, is I want you to tell me what's your two job descriptions that you have in the body of Christ. Can anybody tell me what you do? What's your two jobs? You have two jobs. You have two jobs when you become saved. What is the two jobs? Anybody know? That's one, to praise and worship God and win souls unto Christ. That's perfect. That's a great job. Give yourself a hand clap. That's the only thing that you have to do. Everything revolves inside them two categories, is to praise and worship God. When you praise and worship God in everything that you do, you give him glory. And I think people miss that, because even when you're on your job, if you do it correctly, then you're giving God praise. I mean, if you all day long, you should be giving him praise, right, and worship, right? Every time you do and raise your child correctly, it gives him praise. And your second job is to win souls unto Christ, correct? We all agree to that? Anybody disagree with that? We cool? Let's go on then. Okay then. So why are we so concerned with everybody else doing? I'm in a dilemma here, and I really want y'all to talk back to me. I'm really in a dilemma. Why do I need to be all up inside your Kool-Aid, stirring up inside your drink? Why should I be all up in your house as being members in the body of Christ, all up in the things that you do? Can somebody talk to me? Is it my job to be my brother's keeper? It's a question. Come on, don't be afraid. What do you think? Scripture? Can we find a scripture on that? I'm serious. This is what I've studied on today. I wanted to teach y'all, because what I do two different things. I do studying for me, and then I do a teaching. So when I got to studying this, I'm really telling y'all, I'm going to let y'all into the mind of Glenn Jenkins this evening Bible study. I'm not saying that what you're saying is right. I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong. I'm not trying to be the law here, and I don't want you to be afraid to speak your mind towards me tonight. I want you to give me your unofficial opinion of the questions that I'm asking you. Mike Jones said simply this. What'd you say? Give it to me again. Okay, what do you say? Y'all, I'm on a short bus. Don't get deep and profound with me tonight.
Me personally, I don't want to know what's going on. It just brings too much. I mean, if I can help give a little bit of advice, but I don't
want to
know something.
Misery. Anybody else? I love that. Go ahead. What do you think about it, Magdalena? Hey, no, y'all all catching on what I'm saying now. What do you think about Miss Candy?
Thank you.
So are we better off? Because y'all told me that we had two jobs. So I'm trying to figure, where do we draw the line of really being, God, can I say it like I want to say, concerned with not doing outside of these four walls? Why should I worry about where Muffin was on Sunday? We're going to talk a little bit. Can we talk a little bit like this? Because I think that this is a dilemma where mess is, and I love y'all, because what I love about y'all so honest, and this is why my Wednesday night is a little bit different. She said something very important. She said she get caught up in the gossip, and she found herself being drawn into mess that wasn't supposed to be into. So now I'm fighting things that I was not ordained for me to fight. So I want to talk about some of the things about the blood that's on our hands. I want to talk about the scriptures that because we really misrepresented this scripture. So we're going to go into some scriptures, and I'm going to throw this all out to you, and we're going to come to a conclusion at the end of the lesson tonight. All of us together. You're going to help me study tonight. All right? Let's go. So we got a whole bunch of scriptures. So we want to read them out. We want to have fun with them, okay? So let's do with this. Let's go with the first one, where all of my talking and all of my conversation started. Go Genesis 4:19, dealing with Cain and Abel. Watch this. Who got a different? I need somebody with different versions too tonight. I need an NIV version or some kind of other versions along with the King James version. It doesn't matter. I just really want us to study together. I want you to help me study. That's perfect. All right, so let's go. What you got?
Janice?
Hold on, what you got?
419. Wait a second, Mike.
Yeah, 4:19. What is that?
And Lamech took unto him two wives.
I said Genesis 4:9.
You said 4:19. There you go.
Welcome back.
Genesis 4:9. And the Lord said unto Cain.
Hold on. God's speaking to Cain, right? This is where, when Abel came amiss. Watch this. Come on.
Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done?
Oh, stop. What you say, Mike? Hold on.
Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Yeah, he said the same thing. Am I my brother's keeper?
Okay. Why do we always throw the scripture out? Cain asking God, hey, is it my job to keep him? Why are you asking me what he's doing? What is going on? So now I'm beginning to understand, really, you know, I know that there was a movement that Cain did to try to slick a move on God. God did not respond to him on what he said, right? So really, why do we keep throwing the scripture out? I'm my brother keeper. It's my job to keep. No, it is not none of us' job to keep or somebody else. We got too much to be dealing with on our own to worry about what somebody else is doing. I'm trying to tell you how to shut some doors in your life. When you leave here today, You're gonna double check when somebody calls and you say, can you pray with me? I need to tell you something. You're gonna step back and say, hold on, wait a minute. Let me make sure first. Come on. All right. So when somebody comes up to you and say, you my brother keeper, what you gonna say? Uh-uh. That's not a scripture that we can use in this terminology. Cain was using that to ask God when he sinned. And to try to manipulate God. So let's not use that scripture no more to try to say that I'm supposed to protect you, right? Let's go. Let's go to Matthew 27:24. And then somebody go to Ezekiel 3:17. All right? Matthew 27:24. We're dealing here with Ponte Pilate when Jesus, and they brought Jesus up to be crucified, watch what he says, and watch what's going on here in this term. Let's go back up to 20. Let's go back to 20. Let's go back to 19. Read for me.
Matthew 27:19.
Yes, ma'am.
When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day and dreamed because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the Lord governor said, Why, what evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children.
Okay, what are they dealing with here? Come on, come on, come on. What are they doing dealing with here? They turned him over, right? So Pilate, when he was meant by let not the blood be on me, meaning that I'm not responsible for this. Did he have the power to release him? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But he did not. But he wanted to make sure that he did not have anything to do with the what? Situation. Now we'll keep hollering about the blood on my hands. When he had the ability to change people and make them say, y'all crucified him, Samaria, and I'm not. But no, he stepped back and said, I'd rather not be in this deal. So I'm beginning to think that God really wants us sometime, and I'm going to tell you the reason why, that he wants us to step back and not be bothered with. Do y'all want to know why? Does anybody here want to know why? Was the crucifixion of Jesus good or bad? Say it strong. It was good. It was good. It wasn't good. At the time, did it look like it was going to be good?
No.
We don't know the final plan. And too many a time, we step in all inside people's business, and we're interrupting what God wants. Our problem is we all up trying to be God and work out the situation for the people, when really, that ain't what God wants. So I'm beginning to understand that churches are dying and killing each other because they all up inside people's business trying to be their God, trying to be the one that saves them, release them, and lets them go so they can be the big man on the block. So let me deal with it on another level. Ezekiel, when you are required to do it. The key, the difference between Ponte Pilate and Ezekiel, watching Ezekiel, third chapter.
You said 317?
I think that's what I told you. Let me make sure, because I don't want to mess you up. See that niceness I done presented to you? Okay, 316. Let's go.
Ezekiel 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying.
Hold on. This is God's talking to who? Ezekiel. Let's go.
Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
Therefore, hold up. So sometime I am required to step in. When am I required to step in? It ain't on them to know. The children of Israel did not know. He said that God spoke to who? Him, son of man, spoke to Ezekiel. Son of God spoke to Ezekiel, son of man, and said, I have made you a what? It is your responsibility to watch out for this individual. Is it good yet, y'all? So we need to know what a watchman is. A watchman of the house of Israel was his job to look after, to observe and keep watch for the enemy to come in and destroy the house of Israel. It was his job to look over and watch after their soul. Let's read this a little bit more. Come on.
Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me.
Hold on. They cannot hear me. They don't understand me. I've been trying to talk to them, but they don't know who I am. So we should more cater to the people who are unsaved being watchmen for them than folks that's supposed to be divinely appointed by God. Or souls that are babe coming into Christ that we're supposed to go after and be a watchman over them than those that have been Christ for a long time. So we've been nearly willing throwing scriptures around to try to justify us being all up in somebody's business. That's why it's such a division inside church. That's why churches are dying. Because I'm tired of hearing about people's business in the city. You know what? I have more folks calling me up and trying to tell me things, and I already know it. Y'all know how frustrating that is. But you know what I always tell folks? I already know it. Well, why? And I know they're probably saying, why he don't deal with it? I gave you the reason why right there, didn't I? Number one, my job is to give God praise and to win souls unto Christ. Number two, I have to make sure that he wants me to deal with it. If he's ordaining me to be a watchman in that area, or if it's something that he's allowing people to go through that they may come through like pure gold. I'm not going to hinder your move. I'm not going to hinder God from taking you where he got to take you, because I'm a old head. I know that God used bad things to bring out your good. Let's go. What else he said? Come on.
When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest
him. Hold on. Who is he talking about? The wicked. Come on.
Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
There you go. So if I tell you to do it and you don't do it, now the blood is required on. So instead of Mike Jones always running around trying to find out who's doing something right or wrong, he should be seeking God and saying, God, do you want me to deal with this? If you don't, okay, I'm good. So I know, hey, I'm like Pontius Pilate. Blood ain't on my hand because I didn't get the okay to do with it. But now if God told Mike Jones to go talk to little George, and if he don't do what God told him to, now the blood is on his hand. So we should spend more time listening for God than to be all up inside everybody else up in the church face trying to listen what they're saying about little George. Go ahead. Yeah.
It says, brethren, if any man is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual. So therefore, in order for me to be able to,
Then you're talking.
For me to go to him,
there you go. Because there's got to be a spiritual connection with God that he gives you the divine revelation of what's going on and how to come to him that he may be healed. Now, we're going to get to that. Because if you go to him and he doesn't receive it, it's because it wasn't spiritually given unto you first. There you go. There you go. In other words, you take care of your own business. Don't worry about that. Because if you write, then I can use you for it. Y'all catching on. Then y'all help me get the clear understanding. Come on. Now you catching on. Read on.
Yet if thou warn the wicked, and it turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
There you go. If he turns, you did your what? All right, let's go. Go to the next keeper. In Acts, the 16th chapter. I'm just having so much fun with this. Acts, the 16th chapter. You don't have to go here. I have to read this. It was the Philippian jailer who. What was his job? To keep Paul and Silas, that no harm may come unto them. That was his job. He was told to do a job. When he woke up the next. When they woke up after they prayed at midnight and he seen that they was there, he was going to kill himself because he did not do his what?
Job.
Now, he was only concerned about who? What they told him, even though there was other prisoners, he really wasn't concerned about what they or had their escape. He was only mainly concerned about what he or who he was charged to take care of. So the key to it, Mike Jones stepped in front of and walked the bus before I got there. But I'm still gonna give you the scripture. We have to make sure that we know who we are in charge or are charged to go help. So if God never charged you to go help that person that works with you or you, you really don't have to be bothered about that. I think that we are wasting too much time and spending too much energy with people that we are not charged to go help. Got to be careful with that. We got to be careful with that. Not everybody is going to receive the word of God. I live by this decree in my life. Not everybody that I'm going to tell about Jesus is going to accept him. Sometimes I say it and God tells me, and they don't, if their soul's not one, I understand that that word is going to be used at judgment time. And I'm okay with it. I always ask God, do you want me to go witness to somebody before I go? Do you want me to go talk to this person? And I usually know it's true when I always do this movement, and it always hits me in the pit of my stomach, and I go. Could you imagine how much I'll be drained if I try to witness to every person? Like my man just told me about the former boss that had something to say about me. I was going to help him. But I thank God for him because he don't know what he did. He called me up this week and wanted me to give him a hand, but he just called me. What did he call it? Some name. We're going to just leave it at some name. So I was asking God today, should I go help him? So did I get my answer? Why do we waste the blessed times that God gives us on people who is not even worth your time? I cannot stand folks that want to argue God's word. There's a group of folks that just want to debate God's word. And y'all ever know them? And it's people that won't even receive God or anything of God. Why do we waste so much time and energy? Anybody else been drained by them folks? I leave them be. All right. I'm almost finished. Next one. Acts the 20th chapter, 25 to 29.
Acts 20:25.
Yes, ma'am.
And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock.
Okay, now I want to deal with the difference in what we was dealing with about the blood on my hand and the job that I have of feeding the flock or helping individuals out. There is a difference than me preaching the gospel and me all up inside Candy's business trying to minister to her in my way and format that the blood ain't no longer on my hands. Because more people wants me to go and tell you what to do. Go tell you what to do. All up in your Kool-Aid. All up in, and I always say, well, what do y'all want me to do about it? Well, you got to do something about it. But they don't. Well, what do you want me to do about it? There is a difference. What'd you say?
You should know. They think you should know what to do.
But they think I don't do my job, and they don't know my job. Exactly. You know, they're always, like they say, Monday morning quarterbacks is the ones that after the fact, this is what we should have done. This is what we should do. So in a setting like this, What is required of me as leadership and as you in leadership and stronger individuals? How do I deal with this situation that is a very delicate situation? Guess what? We just read it. Preach the word. So I want to talk about what's my job and how do I preach the word. Do y'all know that all of y'all preachers? Every last one of y'all preachers? Let's deal with this. All right. 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, was a charge was given to Timothy to do what? Did anybody know what was the charge? Say it strong. Don't be ashamed. That's what I like hearing. So how do I, what? How do I preach it? There ain't nothing wrong with it. 2 Timothy 4th chapter, read.
No man that warreth entangleth.
2 Timothy 4th chapter, first verse, read.
Oh, sorry.
See?
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead.
Hold up! I want you to read that again and give me the two key words in this sentence. There's two strong words that I want you to tell me about. I'm going to give you a hint. The first one is charge. What's the second one? Read it.
I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom.
There you go. There's a difference than what I am charged to do and that what we are doing. He never charged me to judge. So what is he charging me to do? There you go. We too busy judging folks and not preaching the word. There's so many preachers whose word is on judgment. When folks come to me, they already judge some of y'all. They don't even see spirits. They don't even see you in a dilemma that you are in. They just seen the actions, and they seen you, and they say, you are guilty, pastor, condemned them. I just paraphrase the whole conversation that I get out of it. That's why I get frustrated. Because, number one, you ain't getting me hooked up like that. Number two, I love my wife said, they just don't even understand you, do they? They say, she say, you look at them and be like, y'all ain't getting me to judge nobody. Because you know why? I see y'all. I don't see your sin and your mess. I don't give a darn about what y'all going through. I don't give a darn if you ran through here buck naked and act like a fool. Next day I'm going to come to you and say, bro, you all right? Do we need to go to the store and buy some clothes? What's going on here? That, and the reason why, because I know what you're going through. I think we seem to forget that God knew whatever and knows what all of us are going through. We have a high priest who has been tempted in every single way that we are being tempted at. So I got to come to the conclusion, Magdalena, what is preaching then? Because I've seen too many people get behind this podium and they go so harsh and I feel like I'm condemned when they get finished. Because they are judging us. And I can't stand them type of preachers. We're going to get to it right now, Miss Mike Jones Jr. That's going to get it before I got to get there. Let me get to it. So I need to understand what's the difference then preaching and judging, correct? So guess what preaching is? Proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, took your sins with him to hell, and has risen from the dead. And guess what? The sins that you have been through can no longer be held against you. So preaching is really should be an uplifting message, shouldn't it? I love what a man told me. Whenever you tell somebody bad news, make a sandwich. My wife can't stand this with me. Y'all get me. I'll make a sandwich in a heartbeat. Y'all know how I make a sandwich? I'll put the bread on it, something good. I'll hit you with the meat. And then I'll put some more bread on the backside and tell you I love you to death. And, you know, you're just so awesome. And I throw that mayonnaise and clop it on there with some mustard and hot sauce and all the condiments. And you be like, where's the meat at the end? That's a mature pastor. Listen what I have to do. Come on. Let's read it. Second verse.
Preach the word. Be instant in season.
Hold on. You need to stand by. Instant means need to stand by. And be careful to make sure that what you're doing is in their season. In other words, you got to know the season of that person. In other words, I can't treat you like I treat you, like I treat you, like I treat you. Because some of y'all may be babes that's going through a season of trial and tribulation that I can't walk up to you and say, what's wrong with you, Mike? Blah, 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 blah. I have to know the season of the person and treat them according to the season that they have. I have to stand by and observe first what they're going through. I have to know my people. Number two. What's next?
Out of season, reprove, rebuke.
Hold on. Take the first one. There you go. You just moved too quick for me. You didn't used to be quick like that. You used to be slow. I need to reprove, to expose. Hold on. This is the key. How do I expose? Huh? And what do I expose? Say it strong, Miss. She back here trying to be like a, I'm going to have to put her right here and get a mic on her. Go on now. Say it again. That's it. Listen. 90% of God, what God shows you, is for you to know. 10% is for you to say. So many people do not understand that you only expose what God says to expose. Because what he tells you to expose, he already working it inside the individual. So you got to be very careful what you say. You just don't say anything to people. Reprove means you got to proofread it. And when he tells you to, because you know what, Mike? Spiritual. You let it go. Because all I have to do is say one or two key things and it'll break you. But what we want to do, because we now receive a little bit on Magdalena, we want to act like we got it going on and tell it all. And then she looking at you like, and gone. Well, she didn't exceed, she didn't receive that. So, you know, I told her what God said, and she didn't. No, the overall goal is to get her better after you come than what she was before. And we've been running and destroying people and saying they didn't, well, they wasn't supposed to receive it the way you done gave it. What's the next one?
Rebuke.
Rebuke. Oh, I love this one. Rebuke is to charge sharply. I didn't say speak sharply. To charge sharply. Y'all know the difference? Do you know the difference? When God charges you, what's the charge? What happens? He gives you direction. So, I don't rebuke that which you have done. I speak sharply to you how to succeed. So in my rebuking, it's more of a direct pathway that you need to take rather than to dwell on what you've been doing wrong. That's why folks mess up at. Too many people want to dwell on what you're doing wrong. Nobody want to help you get out of the mess that you're in. That's what you need to speak sharply on. Muffin, you need to speak more clearly about them things because, you know, we really didn't understand you. I gave her what? Direction. I was very precise on what I said and made sure it was clear. I didn't come to her and say, we're sick and tired every time you're talking and dwelling on what she's doing wrong. There's a difference. We may not think it is, but when you give people direction, you give them hope. Yes, it's the way out of the mess. You just don't keep pushing them in the mess that they're in. If some of y'all go back to the things that I have told you when you were in situations, always talk to you about how to get out. Never. I don't think none of y'all really have ever heard me openly say the things that I know that you're doing. I don't think many of y'all have you? Always say what? You already know what you're doing. Then I always speak to, and I would, and you know what? Be honest with y'all, I'm rebuking y'all. I don't know if I should tell you that, but that is a perfect rebuke. But we think it's wrong. I tell you sharply the directions to get out of it. I done it to her, have I? And I told you, and I done it to you, have I? And y'all be like, Pastor, give me direction. No, Pastor rebuked you. But because we made a sandwich, y'all didn't even see the meat. Now y'all seeing the bread on the backside. This is the bread. You ready? Come on. What's the last one?
Exhort with all.
That's the bread. Show you and speak something to you that is only life-driven. So my job is to finish you up with you having the ability to make it. If you don't make it, don't matter. You be like, I can do this. That's what we are charged to do. Everything that I tell you is not dealing with what people want. Oh, I don't want you. Oh, I know I done told people this. I don't really want to know what you're doing. I don't give a darn what you're doing. How many times I done told some folks that? I know I'm doing counselors, and they be wanting to tell me. I say, I really don't want to know about that. But I got to know you don't. You don't have to tell me. Why? Why don't they have to tell me? I didn't see it in the scripture why they say they had to tell me. My job is to pull you out. I can see you caught in mud. Why do I need to know how you got in the mud? Do y'all know we spend millions and millions and, well, billions and billions of dollars to take people to court to find out how they got in the situation they're in and nobody want to help them get out of it? We need to know the truth. Why? And guess what? Gossip is about people knowing what's going on, not about helping you come out of it. Different message, isn't it? Oh, I'm almost finished. So, come on.
Exhort with all long-suffering.
Hold up. That means I got to admonish and beg and plead for you to get to the situation with all long. Oh, my God. That means I got to be patient with you, don't I? Long-suffering. I mean, I got to suffer long with you. I got to constantly do it. It's got to be a broken record. Anybody ever heard a broken record? Y'all know what a broken record is, don't you? Y'all know what a broken record is? Actually, a broken record is not that dealing with the record. It's dealing with a needle on the record that goes and hits the same note over again. And it becomes what? Irritating. Because you say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. If I'm charged to do it, don't make a difference how many times that it takes. I'm supposed to continue on to exalt it to you over and over, because telling you what you've done wrong don't bring you out. It's the exhorting part over and over and over again that caused you to become a new person. Last passage of scriptures, and we're going home, Ephesians 4:12, because now I need to know what is the pastors and apostles and the fivefold ministry that deep and profound individuals that's in the body of Christ that knows it all, that wants you to tell everything. Oh, you know, them holy roly folks, and you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's find out what God's original intent for them to do. Let's go. Because maybe inside of this, y'all can steer me wrong. Go ahead. 4:7. Let's go.
Ephesians 4:7.
Yep.
But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Why he always started this up with, to every last one of us is given a measure of grace. Why did God always dealt with the grace factor when we're dealing with the church here? Read on. Because don't you know you need grace in church? Not from God to deal with God, but deal with these folks up in here. Let's go. Come on.
Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Keep on.
Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?
That's just the good news. That's what he's talking about. Go ahead.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Say, tell somebody they're the leaders. Fivefold ministry. Why did he give them? Read on.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry.
To perfect the saints in the work of the ministry. Keep on.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
Or edifying the body of Christ. Keep on.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith.
Uh-huh.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Uh-huh.
Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Ooh, all that sounds good, don't it? Keep on.
Then that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Keep on.
By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive.
Keep on. Preach, girl.
But speaking the truth in love may grow.
Hold up. I want you to make sure you say it again.
But speaking the truth in love.
It didn't say just speaking the truth, right? Mm-mm. In love. Keep on. I just want to make sure that's clarity. Just be said it, because I didn't want you to mumble that together. Keep on. Let's go.
May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body filthily joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Oh, my God. Did y'all see anything about judging, condemnation, and talking about you and what you're going doing wrong? Everything that he has placed inside the church is for to build us, to instruct us, to help us in love, and to edify us. Next time they come at you with all that message, say, excuse me, you're not in the body of Christ. Now, back to my original statement where we study all this. So, should I be all up in your business? Next time you're up in your business, say, get up out of my business. Next time you hear your name brought across something, say, excuse me, that ain't God-like. Why are you talking about me for? Find it in the scripture. And when it comes to you with that crazy talk about, well, I'm my brother keeper, say, show me the scripture for that. Well, I don't want the blood on my hand. Show me the scripture that you're referring to. The blood going to be on your hand. Because you don't know the season that I am in. You don't know what I'm going through, whether God has ordained it to go through. You are not even spiritual enough to know, because you ain't spend no time with God. How do I know that? Because you're sitting here judging me when it's not even your job to judge. You're sitting here condemning me when God said there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And last time I checked, I was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. We love you. We bless you for all you said and done. We ask you to continue to watch over, lead us, and guide us through all truth. In Jesus' name, amen.